Good morning. It's a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Well, Alan, on the cusp of another new year, 2019, right around the corner now, and we see that the departing House Republicans have informed lawmakers that there will be no votes today or Monday, and no relief for the 800,000 federal workers either furloughed or working without pay. And the shutdown, of course, will greet the new year.
Well, David, there's always the possibility that they will get together with the Senate, which is, of course, in Republican hands, because nobody wants this pressure, nobody looks good, and come up with a solution, maybe a budget that will carry them through. And if they can get agreement, and that's a huge if, among Democrats and Republicans, they can pass it and threaten to override a presidential veto, if that's what's going to happen. Now, that's just one scenario that might occur. Right now, there is tremendous stagnation. This president only cares about his numbers and what he looks like and what his base is going to do. We know that. It is really very disappointing because there are tens of thousands of people who depend not only on a paycheck for the federal workers, but also all the people who they affect, people who have children and children themselves who can't get a lunch because isn't the necessary bureaucracy to process all of that. So it's not a good situation. In fact, it's terrible. And it's one more sign of the incredible engulfing chaos that we see under this president.
Speaking of, how about this story about Michael Cohen denying a report alleging his cell phone was traced near Prague in 2016? The president's formal personal attorney on Thursday denied he was in Prague or that he ever visited the Czech Republic after a new report claims his cell phone was traced near the Eastern European city, evidence that potentially could confirm a key part of the unverified dossier in Russia meddling in the 2016 campaign.
Well, it could be iffy. We know that Cohen is denying it, but of course, Cohen is not the fountain of veracity. The fact that we are hearing that the phone was traced there could be something or it could be nothing. I mean, as much as one wants to believe that they have the smoking gun that will bring this full circle, it is still something that has to be proven. You know, with some regularity, this kind of thing where you hear this preliminary evidence turns out to be true. The famous dossier turns out to be almost 100% true. So it's possible, and we do know that Cohen was the personal lawyer to this president and was his, quote, fixer. So it is more than possible that it's so. If it is, hold on to your hats.
You brought it up yesterday on the panel discussion for the roundtable, and that's the politicization of the military. And this after President Trump's visit to Iraq, Alan, and the questions after the president signed Make America Great Again hats and took aim at Democrats in a speech at Al-Asad Air Base with the troops in tow.
Well, you know, David, somewhere on Trump's desk, I'll bet there is a list of norms that can be challenged. In other words, presidents don't go visit troops and start screaming about the other political party. It just isn't done. But there's a big difference between it isn't done and it's illegal. And even if it's technically illegal, it's not exactly the kind of thing that will get a president thrown out of office. So it's once again this matter of political norms, social norms, that this guy just doesn't care about. One wonders whether it's somebody sitting at his elbow and say, yeah, I guess you could get away with that.
Breaking news yesterday, you spoke with Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, during the roundtable, Alan, and one of the tough questions you asked him was about the pre-audit authority of the state controller, Thomas DiNapoli, that was taken away by the governor and state legislature, and the governor insisted it was right.
You know, David, I've been trying to ask the toughest questions I can to this governor. We've been having a little bit of fun while we've been doing it, but I've been trying to ask him those questions, the ones that disturb me the most. And one of the things that disturbed me is that there's been a lot of corruption, and it hasn't been limited to the legislature. In the governor's office itself, he was surrounded by some guys who turned out to be crooks, let's face it. And there are those people who say, and we'll never know really, if DiNapoli had the pre-audit function, he might have been able to sense the way in which some of the stuff was happening. It was not right. Now, the governor claims that it's not a matter of audit, but investigation. But I'll tell you, with some regularity, this controller, who I consider to be one of the top guys in government, has come up with stuff that has led to indictment and conviction of criminals. So we'll never know, really, whether that would have happened. But to me, there has to be a constitutionally mandated oversight by the controller. That's why it's in the state constitution. It is a separate branch. Now, this governor has said, well, he'll find somebody within his administration who will do this oversight. Wrong. That's why the constitution has separated these functions out. Now, I have to give it to the governor. I've asked him tough questions every time. He's answered them. They've made the newspapers. Nevertheless, we have to remember that, you know, he's a politician, and he gets some credit for showing up, I'll tell you that much, because sometimes people with short fuses, and I don't know that we can describe him that way fully, but, you know, don't show up. If you're going to ask tough questions, they won't be there. But we have, and we're proud of it, and he keeps coming back and answering the best he can, and that's all good.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Alan, listeners, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
And a happy new year to everybody.